This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Keep up with the latest headlines from Austin and beyond on the all-new Talk1370.com. Stay informed with the latest news, weather, contests, and more. It's all just a click away at Talk1370.com. Just one more way to stay connected with Talk1370.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We're sitting in the rain-cooled city of Austin, Texas. Getting tired of this 103, 104-degree heat.
Over a dozen days in a row.
Saw a guy on the street saying, "It's not hotter than hell." And I felt like adding, "But it ain't far off."
It was a guy standing on the street corner with a sign. Yeah. Hey, we're fired up, man. We've got a live guest. We're talking Formula One. We got all sorts of good stories because it's a week off for Formula One, but we're going to talk about the big news this week, the halo that was in the news. We're going to talk lots of different stories, including Haas F1, their drivers, and we've got a live guest coming on because he raced in the IMSA series. Patrick Lindsay is going to join us.
He's a badass.
He is. You know, he joined us during one of the previous Lone Star Le Mans weekends out at COTA. And, he's a solid racer. He's into a lot of things himself. But he's got a great racing history. It's gone on quite a while. And right now he's running Porsches. He runs, not just runs a Porsche, but he runs the Park Place Porsche team, motorsports team.
Yeah, and the car, the particulars on the car are really fascinating because it's a brand new Porsche, and we're going to talk a lot about that as well.
And I tell you what, Porsche are very serious about him because every time he wants to get a co-driver, they send a factory boy over to drive with him. Jörg Burmeister is his current associate or friend or teammate.
But
that's pretty impressive. I always think for any driver to be, you know, placed next to an Earl Bamber or a, you know, anybody like that, you know that you've got to perform. So he is a badass, no question.
Yep. So I'll tell you what, guys, let's jump in a little bit and talk just a little Formula One. I want to start with, we got a bunch of stories, and some of these we're going to go in depth on, but just real quick, I want to touch on Haas F1 deciding to stick with the cards they got. And I think it's a
great decision.
Yep. You think so?
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. That's one of those things that, you know, last year we were seeing Esteban Gutierrez having some tough times, some bad luck, things like that. But these two guys, they mesh well together, you know, personality-wise, and they're definitely performing well. And I think that's showing not only with what we see on the track, but amongst the team, they seem to be gelling more.
Yeah, yep. And I think that is an important factor, especially for a new team. I think I'd be bold enough to say that the two best combinations in Formula One are Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas and Grosjean and Magnussen. The reason being...
Wow, that is a big statement.
Well,
yeah.
The reason being that there's no question that Bottas coming in is obviously a secondary to a three-time Formula One world champion, but isn't there to make up the numbers, and Lewis knows that, but Valtteri, I hope challenges him further. But it's a compass. Everybody is aware that there's a synergy in that team, and I think that's the case with Grosjean and Magnussen. Magnussen, is thankful for the third chance. Remember, he's driven for three teams now, and I think he too will get quicker and quicker. And I think the performances he's putting on are pushing Grosjean even further, because he's out qualified Grosjean. Not every time, but he has done. I think most recently in Austria. So I'm pretty. I've always been impressed with Magnussen, and I also like the way the Danes and the Finns, they're very laid back folk, and to be fast and laid back, as Kimi has proven over the years.
Yeah.
It's that calmness, it's that sense of, maybe something actually wouldn't mind asking Patrick Lindsay about, because clearly if he's as well as a racing driver, he's an airline pilot of very, very fast planes. You've got to have a cool, calm demeanor about you, and I think that's what I like about both Magnussen and Bottas.
Well, I don't disagree, because I'm happy. I'm a huge Haas F1 fan, so I want to see that stay.
And I think, they missed out at Silverstone, but when I say missed out, they could have gone ahead of Toro Rosso, but they didn't score points. And I think, and they're currently on, I believe, 29, which is what they scored last year. So I think we should kind of put a Speed City counter for the day that when they surpass in their year two what they did in year one. And I think they will do it within the next two Grand Prix, if not Hungary next weekend.
Well, let's be excited to see what happens. We got one more race before the summer break, and
talking of brakes.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey. Sorry. And hopefully they've sorted that problem out, or at least Grosjean has.
Hopefully that's true. All right. So let's talk about some more Formula One stories. I think probably obviously the biggest story is the Halo story, and let's jump in and talk a little bit about that.
I want people to call up and talk about that too, because it's a controversial thing, and I've certainly got my opinion on it. I'd like anybody to challenge me as well, but I think it's a great subject to open up, because it is controversial. It has been for the last few years.
Yep, if you want to call in, 512-643-5483, 512-643-LIVE.
You can also post on Facebook. We'll respond to your comments and your tweets.
Yep. And so, the first thing that I think of when I see this thing is it just looks horrible. I mean, I love the idea of the shields, any of these things that look more like a windshield, but this thing looks so weird and crazy.
Yeah. To me, it would get tough to be able to have a post going up in front of your face to get used to looking around it and things like that. And then, we talked about it a little bit earlier, off air, the parallax that Vettel was having issues with the screen, and we're talking about the distortion of the vision, seeing through it when I forget what they called that one, but the curved screen that was about head high all the way around him.
Yeah.
I still question, why not the fighter jet canopy?
I agree. That's where I was going.
I understand, the egress to escape out of it is an issue when upside down. Somebody also mentioned the aerodynamics over some of these designs, impacting the air intake box.
I know. And you
stick it way up there and there. Remember 1976?
Yeah. And I think you said this, Les, but it's like safety. I mean, it's for a fighter jet. And aerodynamics, it's for a fighter jet, but I don't know. And the other one, by the way, is called an aero screen. That's what they're calling
it. Aero screen. There you go.
Well, I mean, you're getting to the fundamentals of it, and this is the controversy, is that the old school, and I'm not one of those, believe that open wheel should be open cockpit. And I don't believe that. I think it's antiquated. I think it's rubbish. It's not necessary. I think safety is far more necessary. I've lost two good mates, not necessarily that way, but certainly with Justin Wilson. Not that necessarily the Halo would have protected him, but it's unnecessary. And in this day and age, I yeah, full cockpit, and you find the best safety. Nothing's 100% safe. You're racing missiles. Come on, guys. It's never going to be 100% safe. But if you can do anything, and this Halo does, that helps. The best example is Massa's bolt to the head, literally. Yeah. And frankly, this is going to be controversial, but Ayrton Senna's death back in 1994 was a head injury. A suspension rod kind of, you know, that was basically it. Now, again, I'm not saying that that could have been prevented. Accidents are going to happen and freak accidents are going to happen. But I do think, and I'd go as far as to say, I mean, you know, Formula E has taught us. We were all very dubious. It's here to stay, guys. And the future is here. And I think all of us, along with Liberty, we need to look to the future of Formula One. And I'm glad to see that Liberty are doing that. And I'm glad to see that the work that's been put in by ex-drivers on this. Remember, we sat watching this two, three years ago at the Formula One press conference where we sat and watched them get take us through the ideas at the time.
Yeah, that's right.
For that special committee. I'm trying to think of the driver. Can't remember his name, but I'll remember it in a minute. But the point is, I would go one step further and say, hey, there could be a point down the road where these could become advertising hoardings, literally, because you could laser a, you know, laser the front of a car, especially sitting on the grid, with an actual advertising.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting at is, look, you sit and watch the Lone Star Le Mans. We're going to talk about that later, but I don't have any problem watching Earl Bamber or Brendan Hartley in a space age rocket Porsche. Which is exactly the same. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah. So what's the big problem about it? Oh, it's got to be open wheel. You know, it's like, well, come on, guys. And I think Indy will follow
open
suit.
Open cockpit, open wheel.
I think Indy will follow suit.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see because there is so much to this. And I think I haven't heard as much about that tradition. You know, there has been some chatter about that. I think it's just mostly been about the way it looks. Everybody's just going, this looks horrible. It just looks weird and funky. And to me, having that post in the middle, I don't know how you can see through the thing.
Well, that's why I'm saying I think that it, sorry, I never really made my point, which I think this is just stage one. I really do. I think this is, it's coming in 18. They said they would do something on that lines because it would, you know, there's been several issues. We've had several incidents and they said they would make a move and they have, but I think this is stage one. I do. I really do. I think, that, like I said, we'll end up with closed cockpits.
You know, this just occurred to me, you know how the NFL has dealt with concussions, right?
Yeah.
So it is, with the NFL, they were driven by the potential lawsuits because it started bubbling and bubbling, and now it's to the point now where they're saying, you know, you the NFL knew that all these players were going to have trouble. Well, you know, everybody knows that the NFL is dangerous, and everybody knows that driving a race car is dangerous. But if you could, as a sport, do something that could prevent injuries or death, then maybe they're saying you could be held liable. Maybe this is what F1 is thinking, is that we're going to start somewhere. We're going to start adding this halo. We're going to add the halo now. And if there is a better solution down the road, so be it. But at least we're doing something now.
Alexander Wurz. That's who I was trying to think
of. That's right.
And he has been, and I want to give him credit, he has been literally single-handedly helping develop this to the halo point. And he came with several, designs effectively to Austin a few years ago, showed us those designs.
We got to see them at the time. Yeah, that was interesting.
And he said, I'm going to work through this and I'm going to, you know, and they have been trying a lot of things out. I think the other point I'd like to make is that I think that at the end of the day, this should be the driver's decision. It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what, in many ways, the sports thinks. It's their lives on the line. You know, safety is safety. It's all precautions. You only have to go to the Circuit of the Americas to see what safety.
I'm going to argue that a little bit.
Well, okay. Let me finish my point. but you only have to go to the Circuit of the Americas to see how the safety of the crowd and of the audience is kept with fencing and with runoff traps and so on and so forth. So I think that the drivers should be protected in the same way, and they should have a say, a massive say in this. It's their lives on the line. If they refute what I say and say, no, we want open cockpits, so be it. That's, I mean, you know, it's gladiatorial stuff. It's up to them.
All righty. Okay.
We're getting closer.
We're getting closer. Good. I say give them a couple of options. Don't let them pull an Earnhardt and say, no, I'm not wearing a Hans device.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can have a Halo. You can have the, you know, the Aero screen, or you can have
never had a Halo.
Yeah, nobody on Speed City wears Halos. You can have a Aero screen. You can have a Halo, or you can have the jet fighter cockpit cover, the canopy.
Well,
but you will, you know, you as a driver, we're giving you those choices, but you will have one of these.
You know,
I would be good with that.
Part of the FIA's announcement, they said, and it goes to what you were just saying, Jonathan. It says that they're going to go ahead and introduce the Halo for 18, saying it is the best solution currently in existence.
Yeah.
So exactly that. I mean, that's their official statement, saying that it's currently the best thing they got, and it'll potentially be other things. So,
which I think it is. I mean, looking at the other. By the way, we should mention the other ones. There's been a screen-like device. Effectively, almost harping back to the days of the 70s when they had those big Perspex screens. But effectively, like, imagine an elongated motorcycle.
Yeah.
Bubble.
Yeah. Which Sebastian Vettel was trying. But, and I'll bring Professor Kaiser
Professor
in
Parallax.
Here. Yes. Because basically, Vettel was getting very drunk from driving a car with this. He was paralytic, evidently, or parallax. Is it parallaxic?
Parallax.
I thought it's just the way I walk.
Well, it's the distortion of images when you look through glass or, you know, other supposedly clear
images.
I have
a lot of Saturday nights like that.
That's the bottom of the glass. That's different.
It's always half full.
I think that's our cue to take a break.
Another round.
I'm paralyzed.
Yeah. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break, guys. And when we come back, we're going to continue discussion on Formula One. And we're also going to have Patrick Lindsay come on the show. Listen to Speed City live from Austin, Texas. Back after these messages.
Augusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Augusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Augusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35. Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
We know Austin traffic can be a challenge.
Come on, I can drive and take through that gap. Put your foot on the gas and move it.
Beat the commute with Time Saver Traffic. Mornings and afternoons on Talk 1370, the right choice.
When news happens, it happens here. Talk 1370, the right choice.
I'm Will Hardiman, driver of number 19 WPD More Speed Porsche 991 Cup Car, and you're listening to Speed City.
Another Porsche driver.
A good one, too.
Yeah.
Hey, he had a great weekend. Wrapped up second place this weekend. Congrats, Will.
Yeah, nice work.
And so, yeah, really turned out well. It's great. And, you know, folks, I know y'all have heard us talk about Will, or if you haven't, go back and check it out. Will's seriously only been in a race car less than 3 years,
I believe. Yeah.
And, you know, before that, all he had was, you know, backyard yard carts to play in. And but he's got into it. And, you know, he talks about what got his interest up in it.
I still think that's one of the most successful motor racing stories worldwide I've heard. And it just happens to be on our own doorstep. But I remember asking Scott Pruitt, you know, have you ever seen anything or heard of anything like that? And he's like, no, nobody does that.
Not at this age, because he's not a young kid by any means. He's not even young 20s. And so he's, you know, somebody that was interested in it, but never really took the opportunity to go anywhere to, you know, put much effort into going and dealing with it. He said it wasn't until the Circuit of the Americas started showing up and becoming a reality that he was like, it'd be fun to be out there. And then he actually saw it and he goes, I want out there now.
Well, that's interesting. I mean, it's fun. It's interesting you put it that way, because when you actually think about it, Austin, I still think, you know, isn't as connected as we like. And we've tried our bit to the Circuit of the Americas. But there is a bona fide racing driver to come out of Austin, Texas. Not that there have been many, and there are many that live here.
Yeah.
Price Cobb included, who's one of his mentors. Willie T. Yeah. There's a few around. There's plenty of Texans who've been great racing drivers over the years, from AJ Foyt, you name it. This is a homegrown international star now. And I say international star, but he's racing at the highest level. I mean, he could literally go straight and race at Le Mans.
Yeah, he did great this week. It was really great watching him race as well. And, you know, a lot of things coming up. I mean, he had some weather to deal with, and that finally got him all the way through everything that was happening. And, you know, he's in another new car this year. And so it's all part of the changes in what he's coping with.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, nothing short of phenomenal, his entire story, and going from, you know, the kid with the, you know, probably a little Briggs & Stratton pull start card out in the backyard to what he's doing now.
Yep. Well, hey, I want to go with some more F1 stories. There's one that I thought was interesting. It says, Mercedes F1 engine chief warns against underestimating Honda. And this is the F1 engine chief for Mercedes F1 is Andy Cowell. And he said, despite Honda's problems, he said he's looking for them to bounce back in the near future. I just thought it was interesting. What do you think about that, Jonathan? The fact that
to be honest, I know Honda more from the motorcycle world, where they continue to be hugely successful, and they are the biggest motorcycle maker in the world. They are also one of the biggest manufacturers of cars in the world, and they are also one of the most successful motorsport, teams.
Yeah.
And I say teams, i.e., Honda Racing, whether it be
Indy
Global Rallycross, whether it be IndyCar, whether it be Honda Civics Racing in TCR, in touring cars, they have a sensational record. So knowing them and knowing how the Japanese culture is, this is a huge, huge, and I cannot reemphasize this, huge embarrassment to them.
Yeah.
Massive, massive.
Oh, like, you think of the way the Japanese culture is. This is a...
Well, and also, I don't know if you've ever seen the Formula One race in Japan and the how the fans react to both Japanese drivers and their, you know, heroes like Vettel and so on. You know, they are absolutely Formula One mad. And to have their only representation, effectively, in Formula One right now, be basically at the back end and at the bottom of the pile, having had a history in the past with the same team as ultimate, you know, unbelievable winners, this is a massive, massive, massive story and sad story for Honda fans and Japanese fans of Formula One.
Yep. All right, guys. Well, I want to go to our guest because we just called in on the line and we're very excited to have him. He's from just down the road a piece in Dallas and had a fantastic weekend. We're going to welcome Patrick Lindsay back to Speed City. Welcome back, Patrick.
Hey, it's great to be back. Thank you guys for having me, especially after a really exciting weekend for us. And yeah, Park Place, we're just down the road from you guys in Dallas. The Porsche dealership is pretty well known in those parts.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Well, congratulations.
It's one of my must visits in Dallas, I got to say. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the win. That's fantastic.
Thanks so much. Yeah, it was a hard-fought race. You know, Lime Rock is kind of akin to the Bristol Blender for sports cars. It was a battle royale, and with GT racing, you know, we got fenders and we use them, so it was a whole lot of fun, and you know, we were lucky enough to come out on top. A little pit strategy towards the end put my teammate Jörg Bergmeister, factory driver, ahead of the guys at the end, and he just did a magnificent job saving his tires, saving his stuff. He's a master.
Patrick, I don't want to belittle anything here, but when you just roll off your teammate being Jörg Bergmeister, and I know so much of his history, And I then looked up that you've raced with Kevin Estre and all these other guys. You like a challenge. I mean, these are guys that Porsche hold in huge admiration, and they don't send people over to race unless they think they're competent. So, first of all, hats off to you for sort of finding yourself up next to these guys. But what's it like, as a teammate to some of these real badasses of sports car racing?
It's been an experience, you're right. And I've been extremely fortunate in our program to drive with really the greats in sports car racing. You mentioned Kevin, Patrick Long, Spencer Pimpella, Jörg Bergmeister now, and it's amazing. It's really fun. We've even done, stints with Brian Sellers here or there. And all these guys, the true thing is they are champions. They're ultra competitive. There is nothing that's going to stand in their way from going to the front. I mean, they have that innate ability of car control and all those things you want in a driver, but the competitive spirit is so fierce in all these guys. And I mean, you guys have seen it over the years with Jörg and Pat and their success. Kevin Estre, by the time he got his shot with Porsche, how much of a bullet he is, and getting to watch them really front and center, inches away from you, and see what they can do in the car has been really spectacular. It's helped me for sure in my driving, and I'd like to say a couple of the cases maybe I taught them something, but if that was it, it's only about how to eat and which Waffle House is the best.
That I do not believe.
Hey, so it's been we saw you back in the spring, and so tell us about the GTD Porsche now. How are you feeling in it? What's the difference that you're feeling as a driver now that things have settled in?
We've had a year with this car, and I tell Porsche people that ask, because Porsche folks know that the cars are very difficult to drive. Porsche engineered this car to drive a little bit more like a mid-engine car, so they helped some of the rear suspension geometry out for us. And it's funny because we engineered a little bit more of the Porsche characteristics, drive it in hard on the nose, turn it hard, power down, a little bit more of that Porsche technique. And we ended up yielding a little bit more speed out of the car. And now we're just in the finer tuning when we unloaded a track. For the most part, we know our window that we want to operate the car in. Lime Rock's a special case. It only has one left-hand corner. We do a little different setup there in Daytona. But for the most part, all these other tracks, we have our window. We know our ride heights, all our springs, all the good stuff. We have all those hard numbers. So this car, we have good familiarity with it. We got a little bit of help, of course. I hate to mention it, but BOP, was rough earlier in the season for us. The series kind of looked at it. They've tried to help where they can. They have the hardest job out of any of us. We may have to go get in a fast race car and figure out how to drive it, but those guys have the impossible task because no one is going to be happy with them, and we try to appreciate that. But at the same time, we were a little handicapped, previous races. So that's helped some too. But then just solid strategy, just doing what we know how to do, which is execute, not make mistakes, hit our marks in our pit stops and everything, which is what we did at Lime Rock, and now with all the other things coming together, it's just finally we get to yield the results.
Well, it is. I was watching the race this weekend and looking at you guys, and it reminded me, for one, how gorgeous Lime Rock is. I've been up there, and it's incredible. But you guys, it seemed like a real good fundamental, kind of pretty low error kind of race for you guys.
It was. We did have a couple obstacles. In my stint, we were coming up on lap traffic, and I actually had gained a couple spots on the start and then lost two spots to the Lexuses. The 14 and the 15 got around me through traffic, and I wasn't very happy about it. I actually had contact with one of the cars. So there was some stuff early on. We had a smoking tire, which was bodywork. We fixed it on the first pit stop, took an extra few seconds. But, that same lap traffic was really kind to us in Jörg's first and second stint. And so, it gives and it takes, right? But what you mentioned, Lime Rock is a beautiful place, and it's actually, I think, the best spectating track that we go to all year. It's a mile and a half. You can see about a mile, so two-thirds of it, from your perch on the hill. So for fans to come and experience the beauty and experience sports car racing, and they don't even have to really watch the TV except for about 10 seconds. The cars are back on the front straight. They get to see all the action right in front of them. So I think that's what makes it special. It's history there. It's just a great place to go race.
Yeah, last time I was up there, it was actually in the fall. I was doing Skip Barber up there, and the leaves were turning, and my wife was running around all the little shops all around town while I was running around the racetrack. It was a, like a dream weekend. It was pretty cool.
I got a question.
You pass all those stores and antiques and everything, so the family can have something to do too, which always, you know, helps make the sale of, hey, honey, we're going to the racetrack a little easier.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to say that probably cost about the same, John.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know what we did, though? When we rented, this was a long time ago, when the BMW little coupe came out, the Z3 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
We rented one of those, and we pulled up in it, and all the Skip Barber instructors were like, hey, so we're going to take this out on the track? And I was like, no.
Because the renters already said so.
When I left the rental, they walked out and so I could see it and measured the tire, the tread depth, and said, if it's out of the ordinary, when you get back, you will be buying new tires for this.
I was about to say, Patrick will tell you this, for somebody who's been to pretty much every track, whenever I get a rent a car and they say, well, do you want a map? You go, yeah. They go, well, which way are you heading? You go, oh, just, you know, south. Somewhere. You know, is that right, Patrick? Would you say that?
I always operate, you know, wreck it, it's a rental. First of all, it's not your car, remember that. But then the other thing is, I always fear that they have the GPS and they have like telemetry or something, like knowing what we're up to. But they haven't said anything yet. So, you know what, just keep going, guys.
Now, listen, Patrick, I've got a question for you. What went wrong with your career? Because did you not read the script? You're from Bakersfield. So you can't be in sports car racing. You're supposed to be in NASCAR.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely share, you know, common ground with Kevin Harvick, Casey Mears. You know, those guys are, of course, better known from Bakersfield in their, you know, what we call roundy round. Because, you know, we grew up going to the dirt oval and Mesa Marin, which was a small asphalt oval. It doesn't exist anymore, unfortunately. But those guys were there, and, you know, they were big names even before they were big names to us. And, no, I think I was just more intrigued by kind of the finesse and the, I don't know, it's just cool. Sports car racing is what it is. You recognize the cars, you know, you have a piece of your heart in that Porsche or that, you know, Corvette or whatever it is that's going around the track. And, you know, you recognize that car, you root for it, you have that visceral connection to that car and that team, you know, and people have that in NASCAR and IndyCar and other sports. But for me, it was with sports car racing in particular, and I just loved it from day one.
But on a serious note, I mean, am I right in saying that you started by basically drag racing back in Bakersfield?
You're 100% right. I was actually, before it was more popular and, you know, kind of featured on the silver screen, I was a street racer, and that's what we did for fun. You know, it was either go to a field party or go cause trouble in town or, you know, take your car and go out and, you know, just have fun on a farm road, you know, quarter mile with your buddies. And that's what we did. And, you know, we bet on it a little bit. We would also do it in Los Angeles and some of the other more well-known places where the stakes were, you know, a little higher from a dollar figure. But it was fun, and it was a way to scratch the motorsport itch. I haven't done it in, of course, a very, very, very long time. But as soon as sports car racing was an option for me, and, you know, it's not cheap. It's very expensive. And so as soon as it was an option for me, I went that route instead.
You just described my youth introduction to cars, too. It was all here in Central Texas and driving out on the dirt roads and running up the Little River drag strip and down to the San Antonio.
Outside Temple.
Yeah, the Little River was really where that was. The first racing I ever did was on a drag strip down in this podunk little spot out in the middle of nowhere.
And let me tell you about Little River drag strip. The pavement that you drive on used to be the highway, but when the new highway was being built 100 yards east of the old highway, they traded the farmer with the old highway and took out the bridge. Well, he was smart enough to look out there and leave the asphalt, and he put up some fences around it and started letting all the farm kids come out and drag race.
The problem was if your car was more, it did more than what, about 110, 115 in the quarter, you were hitting the brakes pretty hard before.
Yeah, you had about 200 yards to stop.
Yeah.
Well, Patrick, what did you drive back in those days?
Oh my gosh! All right, I'm going to embarrass myself, but actually, I had to take was dad's pickup truck that had a 454, and so I bought a $500 nitrous kit, and that was my
awesome.
Come on. Yeah, so it was awesome until one Sunday morning when dad went to the truck and fired it up when the exhaust cutouts were open because I forgot to close them, and there was a nitrous bottle on the floor. That was, you know, that put a hamper on my street racing for at least a month or two. So.
And you're telling me you can't teach your boy Bergmeister something, I'll tell you. Yeah, I'll tell you what. Take your man in that.
Your guys' own special stories. He'll tell them to you sometime.
All right.
Mine was
There was a little father-son, you know, talk after that.
Y'all bet. But
mine was a Chevy pickup with a 383 short block with nitrous. I swear that was exactly what mine was. We'd hopped it up a little bit with a 383, and then we had a nitrous kit. It was only like 100 shot. But because it still had the turbo 400, it probably, or turbo 350, probably would have blown it up. Yeah. Well, Patrick, this is very exciting. And I, before we let you go, I want to ask you a couple questions. One, I want you to talk about your team, your season with Park Place Motorsports, and all that, and what you're expecting, and how it's going, and all that.
Yeah. So Park Place Motorsports, you know, officially, you know, our first season was 2013, and we've got a really amazing core group of guys, from the mechanics to the engineers. And so the synergy, if you come under our tent, I mean, it's incredible. And, you know, I've been in different paddocks, and it's hard to get that with the team. So it's something I'm very protective of, as is everybody on the team. And so it's something special. And that makes it fun to go to the racetrack and be competitive because, you know, when you get a bond with everybody under the tent, you know, you all are fighting for the same thing. And so that competition and that spirit is really strong with Park Place Racing. And when we go and, you know, this season hasn't been super kind to us. We were taken out early in Daytona with a fantastic car. You know, BOP through the heart of our season wasn't really in our favor. You know, now we're coming into the home stretch. We're going to Road America where Jurg and I have each had independently our own successes, second place for us as a pair last year. You know, I expect to be strong there, strong really through the balance of the season. And I'm hopeful. You know, we're sitting in ninth, probably better now in the points. So a championship's probably out of the question, but it doesn't mean we can't make some waves towards the end of the season. And we have the team, we have the drivers, and I think we have the experience to make something happen. So I'm hopeful. You know, I'm hopeful for this team and looking forward to years to come. You know, I hope that we get to run around with the same core group of guys and continue the race with Jurg Bergmeister and, you know, whoever we can get our hands on. I'm sure they'll be spectacular.
All righty. Well, hey, Patrick, we always try to wrap things up with one question about the driver, a little peek into your personal life. And we get some interesting answers. You may have already answered it. What is your daily driven vehicle nowadays? Are we going to hear Silverado again?
Silverado,
big block, and not just spot.
I'm looking at the nameplates at Park Place. He's probably, it's probably a trick question.
You know, it's kind of a trick question. I still do have a Silverado, and I love
nice.
It. But
so does Alex Rossi.
That's what Alexander Rossi told us that he drives every day. It's a Silverado.
Well, unfortunately, it's not my daily drive. I do have a Porsche Cayenne, thanks, you know, to the great folks at Park Place in Dallas. They hooked me up with that. And I have a little 911 that hardly ever gets driven, but that Silverado has a special place. But, you guys know, you can't beat the Porsche brand when you drive. If you have the option to drive it, it's just it's such a good brand.
Absolutely.
Well, Patrick, thank you so much for coming on the show. Congratulations on a fantastic weekend at Lime Rock, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Hey, this has been so much fun. I really appreciate you guys having me. Hi to everybody out there. Thank you so much for the support, and look forward to talking to you guys soon.
All right.
Thanks,
guys.
Safe, buddy.
All right, guys, well, let's go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Speed City in Austin, Texas, back after these messages.
Is she really going out with him? Is she really
If you've ridden motorcycles in this part of the country for long, no doubt you know of Bud's Motorcycle Shop. Bud left this world a while back, but his legendary Harley service rides on. No longer is Bud's in downtown Austin. It is now Ravel's Heavy Duty, and they've moved out by the Formula One track. You'll see all the familiar faces, so bring in your new, used, and abused. But there's no sign of shiny showroom prices. So check it out at Ravel'sHeavyDuty.com.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane. The racetrack. It's where legends are born. where only the finest machines earn their reputation for innovation and dominance. Such are the nameplates you'll find at Aston Martin of Austin, Lotus of Austin, Bentley Austin, and Rolls-Royce Motorcars. Austin, exotic, iconic automobiles, whose racing heritage turns everyday driving into an inspiring journey, because you're never just along for the ride. Highway 183 north of McNeil Road.
Get breaking news, exclusive contests, and more delivered right to your inbox.
I like knowing things.
Join the Right Choice Club at Talk1370.com and you'll be in the know. Just go to Talk1370.com and click on the Right Choice Club from Talk1370.
The Right Choice.
This is Danny Walker from American Supercamp and the Broster Chicken Road Race Factory team, and you are listening to Speed City, so get your elbows up.
Welcome back to Speed City.
If you didn't understand that reference,
yeah,
that's Danny, who teaches motorcycle racing, so it's very similar to Colin Edwards. Keep those elbows up.
Hey, so you guys remember last week when I said that Justin Bieber was coming and y'all gave me a hard time? So I decided that all this music you hear, and this was
retaliation.
This is all my music.
Oh, I see. You're trying to prove that you're not an old grandpa.
Exactly. Well, I am proving I'm an old grandpa. I'm just proving that Justin Bieber's not really my style.
Not your thing.
So that was tonight's music. Hey, let's talk about the Lone Star Le Mans coming to COTA.
Yeah, I'm going
to
say, if you like the kind of cars we've been talking about.
Exactly.
They're coming here, and they're coming to Austin, Texas. Can't wait. 16th of September. It's always a big highlight of COTA's year, I think. And in fact, it remains, certainly amongst both the staff and the folks who work at the Circuit of the Americas, because I've kind of asked them. They love that event. They really do. It's a chance to really let the venue kind of breathe, as it were. A lot of the other events are in and out, and it's all happening. Whereas this is a much longer event. And in fact, just look at the schedule. It's packed this year with really great racing, and not just sports car racing. There's V8s and F4 and Ferrari Challenge. So really exciting.
Yeah, when you say V8s, get specific, because that's really cool.
It's basically the Renault 3.5 V8 series of old, where the likes of Alexander Rossi, Grosjean, you name him, a lot of them have taken part. Will Power back in the day. But a lot of the great Formula One names that you hear now, and the great racing driver names that you hear now, Earl Bambas, for example, have all raced in V8s and a lot of the big teams.
That's all cool. But here's the other part that I really like. There's no little turbo whistles. There's no nothing like that.
These are loud,
obnoxious V8s.
It's a Texas single seater. I tell you what, if there was ever a championship that was designed for that circuit and to get really excited about single seater racing, and no disrespect for Formula One, get your V8s back. But it does require
earbuds. Definitely bring hearing protection. But it is, the V8 3.5 is a wicked sound and motor. And this is going to get back to the things that'll rattle your chest when they come blowing by.
And F4 is going to be here. And there are, I think, 3 or 4 Texans involved in the championship. We're going to try and get some onto the show. And we're going to get some other bad V8 guys on, too. There's a certain Fittipaldi that you may have heard of, but the latest version of Fittipaldi here. I'm really looking forward to those guys coming. And of course, the Ferrari Challenge, well, that's always great. And we've had that here before. But the F4, interestingly enough, which is again a sort of starting point single seater series, are coming twice. They're going to come in September, and they're coming on the Formula One for their last round. And these are basically teenagers. These are guys whose names you will not have heard of necessarily, but could well be the future stars, the next Alexander Rossi's, the next, Magnussen's, whatever you will. And hopefully, most of them will be American.
Okay, now here's something that, it's not a secret yet, but it's not out everywhere.
Yeah.
Formula 4, I want y'all to pay attention to it, especially those of you with young potential drivers, because...
Male or female.
There is now a Formula 4 fleet based at the Circuit of Americas.
Yes, there is.
Stay tuned. They are currently being
fettled by a good friend of the show's.
Yeah.
And we got to see those bad boys being unwrapped. That was very cool. Right out of being beautiful. Assembled. Yeah, they're gorgeous cars, man.
Yeah, so stay tuned for all the news around that. And we want to meet some of you. that get into that fleet and start racing?
Well, I think that Speed City, I don't know how we're going to do it yet, but I think we should combine with, I don't know, somebody and do our own team and find a 12-year-old badass.
I like that.
And get them in the car and see if we can find the next big
thing. We're
going
to have to open up the Kool-Aid stand 7 days a week.
I think we are. We'll sell lemonade and then finance it that way.
I think that's a brilliant idea. Of course, you can't sell lemonade, have a lemonade stand here in Austin without a permit. Even if you are 6 years old, you have to have a permit.
Yeah.
You do? Anyway. Hey, so I want to move back to Formula One because
one of the
big things this year, we've talked about it many times, is Liberty Media
and the pursuit of happiness.
And the pursuit of happiness. But I want to talk about what they've been doing and the changes. And Jonathan, you sent me a story, and I know you want to talk about this because there have been some really pretty amazing changes, I think more so than we all expected.
I flippantly say the pursuit of happiness, but, Liberty, the pursuit of happiness. I mean, I do believe that Liberty are taking Formula One in their first sort of movement, their first real outward expansion of the brand in the right direction. I really do. I think they've done several things since they started, and they've only literally been at the reins for 6 months now. And in that time, they've opened up social media, they've opened up video, they've opened up the likes of Snapchat, which obviously is no social media, but what they started a Snapchat prerogative, which will also be, I think, in Austin as well, getting people to share their experience of the weekend. Facebook, YouTube,
that's a huge,
I mean, you know, it's basically taking Formula One to a wider and more mainstream audience. But the biggest obvious thing that they did was last week, of course, we did a whole podcast on talking about it, but and you can go and look at that podcast, it's worth a listen. But it was in London. They basically brought London to a standstill, and 100,000 people, some very much interested in Formula One, some going, what on earth is this? And they basically stopped in the middle of London, and that's not an easy thing to do, having lived there, right by Trafalgar Square, and they ran Formula One. And so this was a Liberty thing that was almost, what was that? It's almost, you could call it a pop-up. I mean, no one really knew. It was a lot of planning
They didn't announce it. A few days before.
Which is pretty impressive. Yeah. And a clever thing to do, because if you'd have announced it in London, I mean, you know, you want an argument. Stopping London is, you know, could go on through the council, through the parliament, you know, da-da-da-da-da. So actually to do it the way they did it and pull it off the way they did it was brilliant. And I hope, and I've said it right at the day I tweeted out, I hope Austin does something similar. I hope you're listening, Austin Council. what do you call them? Austin Government?
City Council.
Yeah. Because, I think that's the marriage that we need. And Coda, of course, in the past have done some great downtown activations.
It was, to me, what they did in London was similar to what we have done here in Austin.
I'd like to see it the next step.
To the next level. Yeah.
And get more cars involved and get you've got to, if you stand next to a Formula One car, you can't help but be impressed.
Yeah.
And that goes true of, Porsches as well and sports cars. I mean, can you imagine if WEC ran one of the cars down a street here? It really is quite a sight. And those cars up close are very impressive. So Formula One.
You know, I think that this is a huge deal what they did in London. But you touched on one thing and I commented. But one of the bigger things they may have done is YouTube, because remember before they didn't have a YouTube channel, 3 years ago? So now they've got a YouTube channel that they're putting out multiple videos a week. And every week now they put out like a 5 or 6 minute video that with all the highlights of the race. I mean, you remember how closely held any video at all, whether it was
always
Lewis
Hamilton from the paddock getting his wrist slapped.
But, but this is huge. You know, yeah, the events at each city, you know, are great. But YouTube has such a broad reach, and it has its own reach. It's its own search engine like Google. And I think that could be so massive. And they've got such a cool sport to put out there. So
we're already seeing a reflection of Liberty Media and the changes in the direction that they're going to go. The survey that was out there is phenomenal. It winds up sharing a couple of items that are really important that we already see coming to fruition. Said, in this huge survey that was taken for Formula One fans, they didn't want gimmicks. They didn't want reverse grids. They didn't want, ballast
managing. Boost.
Yeah. Your high school popularity contest at Formula E. They didn't want, you know, to, they didn't really want to change the tires the way they're going. It, you know, it seems like though we complain about tire wear every once in a while, that's not it. What they want is a return to V8 engines and an introduction of the team budget cap. They need to get that under control and to really start having more of that racing. One of the things that specifically was called out is they want live and uninterrupted free to air coverage of Formula One races 20 times a year.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I want to, we have a gentleman, our intern, sitting in the studio and who is what, 19, 20 years old.
He's smarter
and,
than that.
And but. And I want to get his take on, because yeah, what they're trying to do is
it's for the, yeah, for your age group, sir.
But I want it, but we've got to take a break. But so when we come back, we're going to hear a millennial's take on Formula One and what they're doing.
Don't give him that moniker. It's such a negative term
these
days.
I know it is such a negative, and I don't even want to brand you with that, but I definitely want to get Matt's
take
on this.
We'll get Matt on the show.
So, all right, well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue the discussion about Formula One.
Precision Camera and Video is the largest camera store in Texas with over 10,000 square feet and packed with all the latest manufacturer offerings. Founded in 1976 and still owned and operated by its founders Jerry and Rosemary Sullivan, Precision Camera is committed to the finest customer experience. With hand-picked products and on-hand experts, you won't find a more helpful, knowledgeable and accommodating sales staff for quality service. Come see for yourself, Precision Camera and Video, 2438 West Anderson Lane.
MV Agusta motorcycles are the epitome of Italian style, precisely crafted with a passion for two-wheel art on wheels. Ducati Austin are the only MV Agusta and Ducati factory authorized technicians in Austin, servicing all European brands. Check the Brutale Sport Naked, the most extreme essential naked bike ever. Or the Turismo Veloce 800, the first revolutionary tourer to be built by MV Agusta. Or if you want a pedigree steeped in racing, then look no further than the World Supersport winning triple F3, 675 and 800. Or go all out for the ultimate legendary F4 MV Agusta. Italian style with Texas soul. Trade-in, consignments welcome and financing available. Ducati Austin and the home of MV Agusta at 818 Breaker Lane, just east of I-35.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Join me weekdays for This Morning, America's First News. Hear the stories you'll be talking about and searching for all day as we go beyond the headlines and above the chatter. Weekdays at 5 on Talk 1370.
You have made the right choice. Talk 1370.
Andy Prio driving for Ford Chip Ganassi Racing, and this is Speed City.
I know the question you're going to ask. 1953 Robin's Egg Blue Austin Healey Mark II.
That's the kind of car that
was in the video for Tears for Fears.
Okay, yeah.
Boom!
Another one of my favorite songs.
And I think it was Roland Alathabal, who is the name of one of Tears for Fears,
yep.
who was the fan of that car.
Yeah,
but that
cool.
I fell in love with. Both the song and the car.
And the car, yeah.
if you're getting Christmas or my birthday, February 20th. If you're just, you know, kind of, oh, Johnny, you know, what can I get him? 1953, Robin Eggs Blue. I can't even say it. I'm so excited. It's an Austin Healey. And it's British, hey, don't you know?
Before we go back to Formula One discussion, Jonathan, you want to talk about our friends at Ducati Austin are sponsoring an event. It's really cool.
Yeah, the Austin Duck Derby, and there are huge prizes, including winning a VW 2017 Jetta S. But
not the diesel,
second
right?
Prize,
this one will pass inspection.
Second prize, and this is where Ducati come in, is a 2017 Ducati Scrambler 62. And I was touching and feeling one the other day as I was in the store with Vito and the boys and girls there. And by the way, the store has never looked so good.
Oh my gosh.
If you haven't been to Ducati Austin, get down there. They've redone the showroom. It looks bad. badass. They've got the D-Air, the new jacket. You know, the airbags in it. They've got that. They've reshaped it and remolded it, as it were, in terms of the look of the place. It's looking really good. But the Duck Derby, which is August 5th, in fact, but throughout the next few weeks, if you want to get involved, if you've never been to this, it's really good. AustinDuckDerby.com. What you do is you sponsor a rubber duck.
And translate that derby. Austin Duck Derby.
Oh, Derby. Sorry,
Derby. We are in Texas.
That's right. It's AustinDuckDerby.com. .com. Is that right?
No, you're in another state now. I don't know which one.
What state am I?
I don't know.
I'm in a real state. That's what I mean.
You kind of sound like McConaughey.
All right. It's austin.derby.com. Okay. You know it. Anyway, it's going to be August 5th, and we let a bunch of rubber ducks onto Lady Bird Lake and see who wins, and you sponsor them. I think that's an awesome thing to do.
Well, I love all that, but you said I can win a Ducati. You got me there. So
that's second prize. First prize is the Volkswagen. Third prize is a 1 week stay at the Fairmont Heritage Place in Telluride, Colorado. Not bad. I'd like to have that sort of December 20th.
Can I
for a week?
Yeah. Oh, I was thinking the summer. Can I take the Ducati up to Telluride in the
now that. Actually is a good idea. Now, anyway, we're getting off the subject. Let's get back to Matt.
Yeah, so Matt, we want to ask you, obviously we're talking about YouTube and all the other social media that Formula One, that now with Liberty Media, are they doing the right thing to get younger fans?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think they're definitely doing the right thing, especially with just kind of small video series that they have on their YouTube channel. So like race radio highlights and stuff like that, you know, there's always... It's always some, you know, Kimi Räikkönen funny radio or something like that, or Daniel Ricciardo, and Grill the Grid. What they've been doing is, you know, really fun to watch. It's just great stuff. You know, fun to watch for, you know, really any Formula One fans, especially people my age. You know, they're on YouTube a lot.
Yeah, also I was going to ask you about the way you guys use YouTube. Like, you're friends with my son, and he doesn't watch television. I mean, YouTube is his primary source. And so I'm assuming you're like a subscriber and you get notifications and so how is Formula One, the way they're doing it, interacting? How's that connecting with you?
I think it's great. Definitely, like, these shorter form videos are great for younger fans like me. I mean, obviously I'm 19, so, you know, I'd be happy with, you know, as much Formula One coverage as I could get, but it's a great way to get younger fans into the sport.
And do you think things like Snapchat will work? I mean, you know, it's a great way to consume, because a lot of people, like you say, don't have cable and they may not want to watch a whole you know, weekend of racing, which we would. Yeah. But the consumer way of a 10-second video or a group of 10-second videos, all in the same, you know, basically the same storyline, which is what they're going for with Snapchat, would work. Work, won't it?
I think it will, and I think Snapchat and even now, like, Instagram stories, what they have going, it's a cool way to get an inside look at the Formula One drivers' lives, because not only do they post things at Formula One races and stuff like that, but they'll post about their training and just generally what's going on in their life, which is it's cool to know.
Well, let me stop you though. Jonathan said something about not watching the full show, but do you watch the full? You probably do watch the full race, right?
Nice. Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
you're an exception to the rule, though.
I'm a diehard, you know, motorsports fan. So, yeah, I'll still watch the entire thing.
Well, all right, guys, we're just about out of time. Thanks, Matt. That's exactly what we want to hear, is that Formula One is doing the right thing to reach younger audiences. But yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in this afternoon, and we appreciate it. And if you want to check us out on the website, speedcitybroadcast.com. Any other points, Jonathan?
Just to remind you, we're now going to be doing weekly podcasts where we're going to pick the subject. We'll social media add it. We've got one we put out a couple of weeks ago on Liberty Media and effectively the pre-Formula One Silverstone race and our thoughts on that. You know, and we can discuss the halo. There's a lot of subjects I'd like to discuss. I'd like to go deeper into that, maybe with some guests.
Check them out on iTunes and on SoundCloud. Talk to you soon.
Ciao, y'all.
Roxanne. Take talk with you anywhere with the all-new Talk 1370 app.
Listen to your favorite shows, keep up with the latest breaking news and more.
Search for Talk 1370 in the App Store or find the links at talk1370.com.
It's anywhere I need.
Talk 1370, the right choice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.